This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature development and the economy. We shall close with a reflection on this coming Sunday's gospel passage. I am John Baptist Tomosime. Pope Francis issued a message on X, the former Twitter, on Friday, reminding Catholics that without the Holy Spirit, the Church is lifeless. Faith is only doctrine, morality merely a duty, and pastoral work is just toil. But with the Holy Spirit, faith is life. God's love inflames our hearts, and hope is born once again. The Holy See's Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith issued a statement on Friday announcing the excommunication of Italian Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, 83 years old, who at one time was the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States of America. According to the statement, the Archbishop was, in accordance with the church law, tried and found guilty in absentia of refusing to recognize and submit to the Pope, of rejecting communion with the members of the church subject to the Pope, and of denying the legitimacy and magisterial authority of the Second Vatican Council. These accusations are summarized as the canonical crime of schism. For some time, Archbishop Vigano has been a fierce critic of Pope Francis, making many accusations against the Pope which have been found to be untrue. At one time, he called for the Pope's resignation. The Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith invited him last month to present himself in person to receive the accusations and evidence against him, and warned that if he did not, he would be sentenced in absentia. He, in reply, issued a public statement last week, saying that he would not take part in the disciplinary proceedings because he did not accept the legitimacy of the institutions behind it, adding that he considered the accusations against him an honor and describing the Second Vatican Council as an ideological, theological, moral, and liturgical cancer. In its statement on Friday, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith said that it met on Thursday, July 4th, to finalize Archbishop Vigano's trial, and the decision to excommunicate him was communicated to him this Friday. That decision, according to the statement, can be reversed only by the Apostolic See, that is, only by the Pope. Reports from the Diocese of Makeni in Sierra Leone say plans are underway to return the remains of Bishop Giorgio Biguzzi, who died in Italy on Monday this week. A member of the Xaverian Missionaries, Bishop Biguzzi served in Sierra Leone for 38 years, 25 of which as Bishop of Makeni. He retired in 2012 and returned to his native country, Italy, but he had expressed a wish to be buried in Makeni among the people he served. The people of Makeni remember him as a true witness of faith who stood with them during the 11 years of the Civil War. In addition to contributing to the spiritual growth of the faithful and his unwavering faith and dedication to service, Bishop Biguzzi is also remembered for starting the University of Makeni. The Safeguarding Committee of the Association of Member Episcopal Conferences in Eastern Africa, AMESEA, concluded its consultative meeting on Thursday in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, with a commitment to ensure the safeguarding of minors and vulnerable adults in every diocese of the member bishops' conferences. In a statement issued on Thursday, the committee expressed sadness about the pain caused by the sexual and other abuses committed by the clergy, religious, and laity. They invited the faithful to cooperate in what they described as a crucial mission to ensure a future where children and vulnerable adults are safe, cherished, and parented. They also expressed their commitment to ensuring that safeguarding policies in the region are regularly reviewed and updated to reflect best practices on safeguarding. We reported in this program last month that the Catholic Diocese of Kasese in Uganda was planning a four-day initiative to offer free treatment to women suffering from urogynecological conditions at its health facility known as Mount St. Mary's Hospital. The initiative began on Monday, July 1st and closed on Thursday, July 4th. Urogynecology is a specialized field of medicine that deals with female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. Examples of urogynecological conditions include urinary incontinence, bladder pain, injury during childbirth, fecal incontinence, and recurrent urinary tract infections. Mount St. Mary's Hospital's senior urogynecologist, Sister Dr. Priscilla Businje, told reporters on Thursday in Kasese that over 150 women turned up for screening. 34 of them were operated upon because they had suffered major injuries during childbirth. She appealed to members of the public to take care of their bodies and to seek medical help before it is too late. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Mauritian coast guards have reportedly recovered at least 89 bodies of migrants from a boat that capsized in the Atlantic Ocean on Monday. Survivors say the vessel, a traditional fishing boat, set off last week from the Senegal-Gambia border area with 170 people on board. It capsized off the southwest coast of Mauritania. 9 people, including a 5-year-old girl, were rescued, but dozens more are missing. Mauritania is a major transit point for migrants trying to reach Europe from West Africa, with thousands of boats departing from the country last year. Desperate to reach Europe, migrants often travel in overcrowded boats. More than 5,000 migrants died trying to reach Spain by sea in the first 5 months of this year. The most common destination on the Pirelli's route is Spain's Canary Islands. The Atlantic crossing is considered incredibly dangerous due to the length of the journey to Europe, with migrants often stranded at sea for long periods on unsafe boats in areas of the Atlantic where there are no dedicated rescue operations. The army in Niger has killed more than 100 rebels linked to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group in air and ground operations in response to a deadly attack on soldiers near the border with Burkina Faso. The Niger army said a coalition of armed groups killed 20 soldiers and civilian in the terror region of jihadist-plagued western Niger on 25 June. In its previous bulletin, the army said it had killed around 20 terrorists in the region. Terror is in the Tillaberi region bordering Mali and Burkina Faso, where rebels have waged a bloody insurgency for almost a decade. Civilians in the area are often targeted by jihadists, forcing many to flee their homes. In another development, the Nigerian authorities have announced that they will host the first summit of the leaders of the Alliance of Sahel States from Burkina Faso, Mali. The summit will focus on the confederation of the three countries in the fight against the Islamic militants and the creation of a common currency. 25 soldiers have been sentenced to death by a military court in the Democratic Republic of Congo after they abandoned their positions in fighting M23 rebels. The Congolese army has been fighting the M23 rebels for more than 2 years, as well as facing other military violence that has displaced some 2.7 million people in North Kivu province.
This is Development and Economy, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kenyatta Godfrey Kampamba. Infrastructure development is the process of creating and improving physical and organizational structures such as ports, roads, and logistics systems in order to support economic activities. This makes infrastructure development a necessary aspect in the life of any given country. Last week on this program, we talked about the importance of infrastructure development, especially in African countries. We also heard that young people are a force to reckon with when it comes to the critical role that they play in the development of a country. This is because the youth population is often the most active part of society, which makes them a valuable resource that can contribute to the social, economic, and cultural advancement of a nation. In Zambia, the government fosters youth participation in the civic space by addressing a number of important issues pertaining to national development, including youth unemployment. It does this through the promotion of entrepreneurship, pursuing climate change mitigation, and by ensuring technological accessibility. The government approaches this reality by ensuring the education of the Zambian youth. In our program last week, we heard that one of the beneficiaries of the initiatives of the Zambian government to develop the Zambian youth so that they can constructively contribute to national development is Charles Daka from Zambia's capital, Lusaka. With a government scholarship, the young man studied civil engineering in Algeria to master's level, at the end of which he chose to pursue another master's degree in transport systems engineering on another Zambian government-supported scholarship offered by the Italian government. He is currently a student at Rome's La Sapienza University. In this edition today, Charles continues to talk about his academic journey, revealing the fact that he actually plans to put his acquired knowledge in engineering at the service of his country. This way, he says, he hopes to participate in the efforts to make a successful transformation of infrastructure in Zambia, especially in the transport systems sector.
Well, Chizongwe, like I earlier said, is one of the best high schools in Zambia. Yeah, and it so happens that actually I met some of the best students I've ever studied with in my life. So these are guys who literally spend most of their time on books, and they are very much dedicated. And you might want to see that as a disadvantage, but really for me it was a motivation, being with people who are pushing you to be better in life. And that has been the concept that I really loved the most about this school. Not only amongst our students, but also if we go to, we call them teachers, okay? Teachers were quite helpful, and the programs they had put in place for students to make sure that really the reputation of the school is maintained, or if not increased, they put across programs like, we call it PREP. I don't know if you know what PREP is.
Of course, preparation in full.
Exactly. Yeah, so we had programs of that sort, and so it would so happen that you got for classes, because we lived within the school, it's a boarding school. So in the morning, say around 7 or 6:30, somewhere there, you should be in classes. You are settled in classes. And then you knock off at 12 hours, okay, for lunch. Actually, that's not knocking off. You have just to go for a break. You go for, you have your meal, your lunch, and then by 14 hours, you are back in class. Somewhere, I think, 16:30, you are out. 17 hours, you have your dinner. By 19 hours exactly, you are required to go for prep. So he will be studying from 19 up to somewhere 22, 21. Now, if you look at that and you do this same procedure every day, imagine what becomes of you. Okay, so it's really what the teachers, the administration has put in place for the students that has made the school what it is today, because it still is a good school currently in Zambia.
What subjects did you enjoy best in Kizungu?
I was really enjoying GMD was one of them.
What is GMD?
Geometrical and technical drawing. Mm. And it's part of engineering, actually, under civil engineering. It's just that under civil engineering, they have incorporated it in software. So now we use things like AutoCAD to facilitate the drawings. But initially, you are supposed to have that concept.
Which concept?
No, geometrical and technical drawing. Okay. You have to be good with using compasses and things of that sort. I was also good with math. I think personally, I remember so well that math, I was getting over 90% all the time whenever we have an exam, especially starting grade 11, term 2. I don't remember ever failing or going.
And before grade 11, you were failing?
No, not failing as per se, but I had
maintained. The results were not as good.
I had maintained to say, because I was getting 93, 96. Usually it was within 93% most of the time. So I enjoyed mathematics. It was a subject that I loved so much, biology equally. That's why I was kind of intrigued to go into a medical field when I graduated. But unfortunately so, or fortunately so, I found myself in engineering, which is something I'm currently enjoying.
Now, you did very well in your secondary school, that's obvious. So secondary school leaving exams, placing yourself among the best performing students in Zambia that year, which is 2016. And most, if not all, students of such caliber are almost automatically accepted to enter the University of Zambia. In your case, you found yourself in university in Algeria, where the courses offered at the University of Zambia, UNZA, not good enough for you. What attracted you to Algeria?
Well, I wouldn't say the courses offered at the University of Zambia were not good, because the courses that they offer there literally are the courses that I found in Algeria. Because civil engineering is equally offered at the University of Zambia, and it's the same course that I studied in Algeria. However, I would say the opportunity for me to study at the University of Zambia at the time was not given to me. So I would say I moved with the opportunity that was at hand at the time. I didn't initially apply to any other university at the time or for any other scholarship other than the one I had applied to go and study in Algeria. It was just given to me at first hand. So I didn't have the opportunity to apply to the University of Zambia. I think the University of Zambia is a credible university. Though there are certain things that we would have to look at, I believe things like the duration of study. I think 5 years is a long period. Not only that, but also we have to look at the context. What is it that we're teaching within the very 5 years? Because if you look at the Algerian system, how the educational system, especially at higher level, you realize that for me, for example, I'd done 4 years to start with. And within the same 4 years, there's a year that you have to do language, because the studies were conducted in French. So literally, you dedicate a year to the language, and the other 3 years will be for the course of study. So the 3 years also will be equally divided in first year, you'll be doing, we call it ST in Algeria, we call it ST.
What is ST?
ST stands for science and technology. Upon finishing and having the required marks, and then you can only specialize in the course that you want to do. So in my case, when I was done with ST, I had an option to go in whichever engineering field I wanted. And so the options were two for me. I wanted to go for the first option, obviously, was civil engineering. And also a second alternative, which was aeronautical engineering. I know they are kind of not straight, but those are the options that I had. And I evaluated everything, and civil engineering obviously stood out for me, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Charles Dacker, Zambian engineering student at Rome's La Sapienza University, talking to me about his life and studies as he prepares to be a future partner in government effort to make a successful transformation of infrastructure development in Zambia, especially in the transport systems sector. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Development and the Economy. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyan Tagodufri Kampamba.
Welcome to Zambia. We salute all Zambian people, home and abroad, who every day work very hard to make Zambia the most peaceful nation.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidiong.
The messengers of God cannot be said to be perfect or the best of people. Most times, they have been chosen from those written off by society as good for nothing. Looking through the history of salvation, God has always used those considered the least in human standard and reckoning to accomplish his plans. Often, they were not the best intellectuals, not the best economically, not the best in terms of lifestyles, but before God, they were his best. In the first reading from the book of Prophet Ezekiel chapter 2, God called the prophet and gave him his spirit, then commissioned him to go to the household of Israel. His duty was to speak in the name of God. Whether they listened to him or not, he was to do his duty as a prophet. Not that he was the best among his brethren, but God needed him to be his mouthpiece. Jesus did the same when he chose his 12 disciples. He did not choose from among the best in human reckoning. He chose the common Galilean fishermen, and by the world standard, they were considered to be nothing. They became the champions of the good news of our salvation. St. Paul, chosen to be the apostle of the Gentiles, was never the best by Christian standard. He was a persecutor of the way. He tortured many Christians and even approved the killing of the first Christian martyr, St. Stephen. But here he is chosen by God to champion the cause he was opposing. In the second reading taken from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, he recounts how he was in torments and pains, and yet God was still using him to impact greatly in the life of the pagans to whom he was an apostle. He considered himself weak, but in his weakness, he found strength and grace from God who sustained him. It is true that God often chose the weak in human standard to shame the strong. There is an important point that we cannot fail to acknowledge, and that is the fact that whenever God calls and chose, he equips those he calls. He empowers them with his spirit, thus making them fit for the task. That has always been the case with all the prophets and the leaders of his people. There is no one who is worthless before God. Everyone is unique and specially endowed by God for the task for which God has called one to accomplish. In the gospel, the people marveled at the wisdom of Christ, and they could not comprehend this, since for them he was a common carpenter's son, whom they felt had nothing to offer except walking with woods. This episode in his own home shows the rejection many messengers of God passed through. Jesus was right when he says, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." Just like Jesus' king's people, many of us have lost opportunities of growth and favor due to our attitudes towards others. Many of us look down on people without knowing who people are, and in some cases, through misconception and biases, we pass judgment on others. We all owe our uniqueness to God, who richly blessed us so that we can be of help to others. But we must be careful when treating those who we feel have nothing to offer. They could be those sent to remedy the situation we are facing. The king's people of Jesus could not benefit from his gift because they doubted him. They had a misconception of him. Many disciples could not accept Paul because of his past lifestyle. It is difficult to effectively spread the gospel message due to misconception. But the readings of this Sunday are encouraging us not to give up in the face of misconception and misunderstanding to do the good. And for those who have been written off by people as useless and worthless, here is the good news for you. God made you unique. Even in your weakness, you have something good to offer. Let not the judgment of others or our weakness deter us from attending the zenith of our destiny in God. The key word is always trust in God, who chose the weak to shame the strong. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
That was a reflection by Father Enobong Udaidion from Nigeria. You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumosime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, The World Around Us. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.